Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about men and men's groups with our special guest, return guest, Dr. Ken Lakritz. He's a PhD. He's a Jungian psychologist, and he was on the show recently talking about his book, Remembering Self. And today we're going to talk to a men's group. I guess the question is, would you like to discover what really happens inside a men's group? And that's what we're going to do right here on this week's episode of Guys Guys Radio. You know, we all have, you're a guy, you have a bunch of pals, and it usually comes down to you go out to the sports bar and you watch the game and you talk about teams and sports, and maybe some news comes up that you want to share with your mates and your buddies, but you really don't get deep. And so I thought it would be nice to get a leader of a men's group who is a psychologist and who goes deep with his men's group members to come on the show and talk about what happens with a men's group. And the nice thing is we're going to have 4 members of the men's group on the show along with Dr. Ken. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think you're going to enjoy it. I'll see if I can extract some helpful information for any of you guys out there considering putting together your own men's group. So it's going to be fun right here on this week's Guys Guys Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, guys, radio, it is the interview portion of our show. And today, I'm delighted that we're going to do something a little bit different. And we're going to talk about guys with guys. My special guest is a return guest, Ken Lackritz, PhD. He's a Jungian psychologist, and he's author of the book that we covered a couple of weeks ago on Guys Radio, Remembering Self. And it really talks about the four stages of life and how, as we age, we can really do a better job and really thrive in our last quarter of our lives, if you will, and also understand the meaning behind each one of the quadrants of our life. And Ken did a great job with this book. It's got some fiction in it. It's got some nonfiction, and it's got a lot of truth. So first of all, welcome to the show, Ken Lackritz and the guys from Ken's Men's Group. So Ken, why don't you tell everybody about the group, how it got started, and then introduce the guys.
I will. Well, first of all, thank you for having us here. I think this is really a pleasure to be here and to bring this fellowship to the world, because I think it's a very special community of men. You know, I've been a part of men's work for about 35 years. And one of the things that I've learned over that time is that it's very important to curate a community. And part of the way that I curate this is every man that has come into the group has come through my practice. Now, part of the reasoning behind that is a little bit of vetting and an understanding of where men lie in terms of their depth of understanding. Are they ready for the sacred? Are they reverent to the depths? Are they ready to meet other men on a very deep ritual level, at the heart level, and to be able to move into domains of life that encourage maturity, that encourage a deep appreciation for the feminine, because it's not all about the masculine, and men who feel that they want to move out of isolation and into deep relationship. And I'd say, you know, the loyalty that has grown and the sense of community that has grown and the bonds that have grown have been something almost beyond what I've witnessed before. And so let me introduce these very special individuals. First is our youngest member, who is Alex Wilson. And he is 36 going on, what, 60? something like that. And then we have Iz, who has brought incredible life and love to this community. And then we have Randall Wilson, who in the glasses and the beard, who is Alex's father. And it's the first time I've seen a father and son within a group like this. And it's been just incredibly special to all of us to witness this dynamic and to see what is passed down from generation to generation. And then Xavier and Karen Coter, did I pronounce that correctly?
Almost.
After 10 years, I should be able to pronounce it properly, but I'll get there. And
we'll work on it.
And Xavier has been part of men's work and initiatory rite of passage work with young men and drumming. I won't call him a master drummer because he doesn't like to be called a master drummer, but he's an incredible drummer, and which he brings ritual and song to our community.
Okay, so let's get to why you started the group. How did that come about? I know you mentioned, Ken, that everybody was a client of yours. And so how did the group come out of that? And also, how, you know, a lot of people think of a men's group as a bunch of dudes sitting around complaining or doing other crazy stuff. How is your group different?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've had so many men pass through my my practice, and uniformly, even today, uniformly, they say they feel lonely, they feel isolated, they're tired of superficial conversations, they want conversations of greater depth. You know, they're fine with sports and barroom talk, but they want to talk about their spiritual lives and their hearts and their relationships. And I think that what has happened in our group is that we have cultivated a depth and a reverence for being together that has taken us continually deeper. And there is a food, and this is the invisible part of men's community. There is a food that men bring to each other. It's a kind of a spiritual or a psychological, emotional food that we can't get anywhere else. Okay. And I think our female partners would love to bring this to us, but it's not something that they can bring to us. And so I'd like to actually turn this over to Xavier to maybe to expound on this, if you would, Xavier.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ken. And thank you, Robert, for having us. And
our pleasure. Mm-hmm.
My brothers, you know, as I look at your faces, I am just, you know, struck with such gratitude, you know. I think everything that Ken's saying is absolutely true. And what strikes me is that because we've each been in therapy, each member of the group has been in therapy, we're familiar to the idea of being in a therapeutic holding space. And we bring that into the group and we bring that to each other. And so when the brother invited me into the group before I met Ken, I felt that this would be a safe group because of my experience with him. And of course, meeting Ken, I trusted this would be a wonderful group of men. And so we come together, and it's not a space of competition. It's not a space of, it's a judgment-free zone. So I feel completely safe sharing, you know, my heart, my desires, my successes, my failures, triumphs and traumas with this group of men. Okay. And one way that I see it is that we hold each other in the light of our attention. And I feel like in that light, when we're offering our hearts and when we're just being seen and heard by each other, we're calling something forth. We're calling forth just more of who we are as men and as human beings. And it's a tremendous honor and blessing to sit in a group of men, to be seen, to be mirrored. You know, when I'm sitting and sharing, mm-hmm. sometimes a man will reflect something back to me about myself that I've completely overlooked, you know, something good, something positive that I haven't owned. And it helps me to kind of own aspects of myself. And when I'm sharing something difficult, you know, a reflection from a man will kind of give me a different perspective that helps me see what I'm going through in a different way. And, you know, I'm able to meet that challenge with a little more strength, with a little more ingenuity.
Fantastic. Let me ask, is how did you get into the group? And how long have you been in the group? And what has your experience been? And is that experience what you expected?
Thank you. Thank you, Robert. How I got in the group was I had an awakening about 11 years ago. And in that process, I realized that I needed to go within. And so I sought therapy, and I was looking for specifically a Jungian therapist. And Ken crossed we crossed paths. And He helps me go within and understand what it is that I need to work on myself within. And so that's how that came to be. And then after a few months, and I've been with the group about 3 years. So after a few months, Ken suggested that I join this group. And it's been a while for me to be in the camaraderie of men. And what I really enjoy about this particular group is that because we are varying ages, we have experiences that we had in common, let's say, as men. And then there's also a mentorship that we have to the younger men in the group. It's a beautiful, because there's eight of us all together, so you're just seeing four of the eight, and
Okay.
so it's a really good group. And
What I want to point
so
out
did,
is that the young men mentor us also.
that's true. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. And now we have I want to get to everybody. So Randall and Alex, that's father and son, which I think is fantastic. You guys are both in the group. Why don't you go ahead on your own and just tell us about that experience, how who got in first, how the other person got in, and what's been the dynamic while the two of you have been in this group together, and how has it impacted your relationship? And if there were any issues before that have been resolved while being in the group? I know I threw a lot at you, but just talk to us.
Take it
Well,
away, boss.
how about I start, huh? Okay. Yeah, I've been in the group for, I don't know, maybe 4 years, and coming out of working with Ken into that situation has been absolutely wonderful. And as one of us indicated before, like an opportunity to come out of that very frequent experience of feeling kind of isolated emotionally, and to be able to have the freedom to express both my despair and my excitement and everything in between, and not have it ever be judged, has just been an absolutely empowering experience for me, and has just meant the world. And so I'm exceedingly grateful. And as Alex, who has been in the group for a little while, came in, I guess it's probably important to understand that aside from the fact that we're in the group together, we also work together every day. We have a woodworking business, and Alex has been working in my woodworking business now for well over 15 years. And so you could say that we have a very engaged relationship. And as Alex has joined the therapy, and kind of like the opportunity came up for him to join the group, for me it was just like this amazing opportunity to be able to present my vulnerability to him as a man, and to like expand my curiosity about how would it be for us as a father and son to be in this particular context of being in a men's group, of being emotionally vulnerable, like I said, and like to and to find out what was going to be the takeaway for the group in general, because I can assure you that every single one of us has what we might refer to as father issues or dad issues. I myself definitely. And it's like, well, won't it be cool to see how we can work with what might be construed as dad issues with the actual father and son as the guys in the test tube. And it's just been kind of marvelous for me to be able to, how would I say, expose myself to my son in ways that are completely unprecedented for me in my life. And it's just felt like the benefits for us in our particular relationship, and I think it kind of ripples out, have just been fabulous in terms of just experiencing each other's humanity, our challenges, and I don't know. I'm just continually curious about where we're going to go with it and how it will enrich our relationship and how it is we get to operate together. So.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, Alex, so we heard from your dad. For you, how did you get into the group? Was it your idea? Was it your dad's idea? What do you think about, you know, getting together and you're hearing the, you know, experiencing, witnessing the vulnerabilities that your dad has, which to me is very courageous. And then how about you being able to talk in a group about some of your issues when your dad's sitting right across the table from you?
Yeah, so we have this super deep relationship. We've been working together, like he said, this is our 20th year working together. So we have this kind of platform that we're used to working in. And the same hierarchy is kind of, you know, it is what it is at this point. So getting this other platform and context to be working in has just been incredible. Getting to work with Ken has been, the growth is real. And I feel like having this context of the men's group is, it's kind of like a pressure cooker for growth. When you're emerging into the next phase of life, like I kind of am, my wife is pregnant. I got married this year. I'm taking over the business as we're going along here. So yeah, having this space to communicate and work with my dad alongside having this context of all these other men is just, yeah, it's really incredible space to be in. And
fantastic. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
right. Okay. Guys Radio, Robert Manning, your host. We're doing a show a little bit differently today. You know, we're doing a men's group. And, you know, we explore on the show everything from relationships to personal development, spirituality, culture, and what it really means to be a man in today's changing world. So our show today is a little bit different. Instead of interviewing one guest, we're joined by five members of Ken's group, Ken's men's group, and we're having a discussion. So let's pick it up. Let's have some fun here because I'm sure your group has some fun. So Ken, talk to us about the group itself. You are a Jungian psychologist. These guys have been your patients, and I'm assuming other guys in the group have been your clients, whatever. How does that dynamic shape the culture of the group? And do you think you would have a different group if it weren't your clients?
I think I would definitely have a different group if it wasn't my clients. I think that the depth of relationship that I have with each man is so profound even before they step into the group. And I think that that my sense of you know, what's moving in them, what's important to them, what needs to come forward is fairly crystallized by the time they come in, and it helps me to hold space. It helps me to know the depth of the vulnerabilities. And, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about is, as the men were talking is, you know, one of the operative core emotions that I think that people don't fully understand about men is the level of shame that shuts us down very early in life. We're basically shamed out of our feeling, out of our hearts, out of our emotional life at a very early age. And part of what we're trying to do is create a context, a fellowship that helps to lift that shame and helps us to move beyond that shame. Because I think that what each of us wants is each of us wants to move forward into life, to come forward, to fully manifest, to become and be the people we truly are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Alex was saying, it's kind of an alchemical chamber. It's a testing environment for us to learn how to be completely transparent and authentic with others and to be held with love, okay. You know, to be held really in the context of love and appreciation.
Okay.
And that's what's evolved in this community.
Okay. Guys, you have kind of and this is just a microcosm of the group. We don't have all eight members here, but you have a little bit of a cultural mashup here, which is great. Do you guys feel from the different cultures and backgrounds you come from that it's different? Like doing something like this is a big leap. if you're, I'm going to take a guess that is you some type of Middle Eastern. Is that correct?
Oh, I have actually Northern Indian background.
Indian. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. But the generations ago, my forefathers went to South Africa, Southern Africa.
Okay.
And so, and then that over to Kenya, and then over to Canada, and now the U.S.
Okay, so I'm culturally,
a citizen of the world. Yeah. So
culturally, is something like this more welcomed from where you grew up, or
yes.
is this something that's it's a big leap, even a bigger leap than some of the guys who are from here?
Yes, you know, typically it is a big leap from because the culture, even though it was several generations removed, that Northern Indian culture is very patriarchal, and so that has bled itself through multiple generations, and it bled into my generation as well. And it typically is a big leap, but I was called a sensitive one when I was a child, when I was a kid with my three other siblings. So I end up being more open-hearted, but it's still a challenge to, mm-hmm. you know, but I, like I said earlier, I love being in the camaraderie of men. I ride with a motorcycle group as well, and that's also a lot of fun. Awesome. But, you know, it's a different level of depth that you go into.
Mm-hmm. How about Xavier? What's your sense from a cultural background in terms of entering a group like this? Is this something like other folks that you would know in your family, et cetera, would say, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing that? Or is this something that's encouraged and say, I totally get it, that's cool?
Well, as we said, my last name is Eichenkoder, which is Dutch, right? So
okay. Mm-hmm.
My blonde hair and blue eyes, I present that. But, you know, having African heritage, Dutch, and, you know, Native American, I personally am multicultural. So my personal stance with that is I see each person as a reflection of me. You know, I've got all of it in me. And so what strikes me even more than the cultural aspect, which is, you know, we all understand and we relate, and but, you know, we're all Americans, right? We're all really Western men living in America. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that we have a father and son, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a son, I had a father, my father's passed, and seeing their dynamic reflected helps to heal my father issues, right? Mm-hmm. We've got men at different ages, and when we talk with each other, we relate to that aspect of ourselves. And so it's really like this microcosm, macrocosm reflected in our group that's reflected in our individual selves. And the growth is just, and it balloons out to this universal feeling too, because I feel like we're a cross section of our larger mm-hmm. culture.
Okay, so when you guys get together, I guess this one's for Ken. Is this do you see this the way it plays out? Is it an expansion of a Jungian psychology session, or it is a men's group and it could go a lot of different ways? And what happens with the groups? How often do you meet? How long do you meet for? What do you do during your sessions? Because I think a lot of the listeners and viewers out there are wondering, thinking, hey, you know, this is a great idea, having men being able to talk to each other. Because I think one thing that we all suffer from universally as men is kind of a isolationism, if you will, like I think Robert Bly mm-hmm. talked about. And it's something that's needed. So I think from a tactical standpoint, mm-hmm. I think people be interested, Ken, in knowing how do you manage the group? How does it flow?
Well, first of all, I don't manage these guys. They manage themselves. But what I think we've done is we've adopted a model of kind of a ritual men's group. We meet outside. We have a fire. You know, even though I facilitate the group, I consider myself kind of a member of the group. I don't sit on a pedestal or
perch. Do you share your stuff too?
Yeah, and it's not a psychotherapy group.
Okay.
We find ways to ritualize the space and so that we know it's a liminal space, which means that when we're walking from the outside to the inside of the group, we're passing into a special sacred space. And so we find ways to create that container or that boundary. We set intentions, we drum, we sing, and we try to cultivate a space that can go very deep, but also there are men that bring in, you know, current issues with family members or, you know, births or, you know, other kinds of issues, and we're there for each other. And, you know, one of the feelings that I have, and I'll just say this one last thing, is that, you know, if anybody called any one of us at 3 in the morning, you know, with a crisis and needed one, we would all be on the doorstep within 15 minutes. And that's the kind of space that I believe that we've created. And that men are so hungry for. Okay. Anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
No, not at all. I interrupted you. So listen, we're just having a conversation here, and I'm trying to get as much information out to our listeners who are probably considering, hey, maybe, you know, I want to get my group together. I know with my friends, we have text exchanges now. There's 4 guys on one text, there's 8 guys on another text. I'm sure you guys have experienced this, and you go back and forth and somebody puts a meme up where they talk about the World Cup or whatever it is, but it's pretty much surface stuff, but at least it keeps you connected. So I guess my question again, Ken, is how often do you guys get together? And is there you have like a little syllabus for the group or something, or an agenda? You mentioned some ritual. Did you do something to get into the mode for the group? How long does the session last? And also, anything taboo to the group that you just don't get into? Like, do you guys talk about sex?
So we meet once a month. We generally meet for about 2 or 3 hours. We trust process. I think one of the things, the elements that I feel is very important with the men that I bring in, is that they trust that there's a process that will deepen. Now, one of the roles of a facilitator, or I should say, you know, each one of us facilitates in our own way. So I don't want to put myself in a position as being the core facilitator, but is to keep the group moving deeper, because it's very easy for men and women as well to stay at a very superficial level. And we need to find ways to invite depth, to facilitate depth, to redirect when, you know, conversations or when process is going in a direction that's not fruitful for the group. And so there's a subtle true north, I think, that has emerged in the group, and men, you know, at this point, trust the process, and we know how to go there.
Okay.
Together. And I'd love to hear others.
Okay.
Comments.
Yeah. I want to ask Alex a question. Cause I have want to jam in as much information as possible in the time we have. Alex, you're the youngest in the group. You've come into this, you've got your dad. That's a big dynamic right there. You've got these other guys, they're all older. And I'm sure a lot of younger guys out there who are listening or watching your show are wondering, hey, you know, I get it. That's really cool. I wonder what Alex's experience has been, and if this is something that I should try to pull together with my mates.
Yeah. So I think for me, a really wonderful thing about this group is that we do have a through line of this psychology that we do with Ken. So having kind of an undercurrent of this, we're here to do deeper work and we're here to grow together, is kind of the bottom line of what we're doing here. So for anybody trying to put something like this together, I highly recommend like finding that through line of gravitas and progress and what are we here for, and what do we all have in common, and where are we trying to go, and let's try to put together a context to speak in a place that's that we all want to spend time in. And
you know, it's so interesting for guys. I remember my dad, who's a hero of mine, and he passed, and he was out doing stuff I can't even get into. But you know, I remember one time he knew I was having a tough time. We didn't have intimate conversations or anything. He'd ask me about work and business, and that was his focus. And he traveled a lot. But one time I was living in the city, a little studio apartment, and I got this card in the mail, and I opened it up, and it was a kid on stage holding a violin facing a crowd. And I opened it up, and it said, "Believe in yourself, love dad." And I kept that card my entire 30 years in New York, and that's all I needed. So do you find that it's like sometimes you get something, a symbolic thing that happens that means the most to you, can mean more than just words? And again, this is for Alex. What have you learned about older guys, and what have you learned about your dad, with all due respect, that you can talk about that you didn't know before? I know.
I think
tough one.
Yeah. No, I have a lot to say about it. I think just seeing my dad be vulnerable in this context, and having it not be all about me and my dad, but like seeing him as a man and having him see me as a man and seeing all these other guys as men, coming into this group, it's easy to be like, oh, I'm the youngest guy. What can I glean from this? But I think the biggest opportunity for growth has been like mirroring this group and seeing that I am a man and I'm growing into this thing that I'm going to be in the future. And but you know, as well, right now I'm a man and I'm just learning about how to do that and seeing that these guys are on their own process and there's not some threshold you pass where then you're a man. It's like this journey that we're all on and we're all on it together.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Randall, what's your take on that? And what have you learned without getting, personal about, what have you learned about your son and about yourself and about your relationships just since joining the group that maybe you might have not gotten if you weren't together in this experience?
Well, thanks for asking. In terms of stuff that I had the privilege of observing with Alex, is that we had in the group, we have the context of depth, and in the relationships that I have with my other sons, we get to kind of like expand on the experience of going to depth with between me and Alex. I sort of have a format for being able to do that with my other sons without having them be in the group. So there's this expansive aspect of the energy that happens in the group that I've found to be incredibly valuable to me individually. And so that's one thing there. Another thing I just wanted to say, because you asked about the issue, is like, do we get together and talk about sex? And I guess it would be the thing that I would maybe put in about it is like, it's definitely not a taboo subject, but the reality is that in the group, the focus can it can start dissipating outward, but it really belongs in here. And so if there's any how would I say steerage that Ken might have to that might have to apply from time to time, is kind of like, come back here, and let's see where are we at this level now. So though we all have relationships, and most of us are married, and some of us have been married a few times, it's just like, yeah, that we can any of us can talk about our relationships, but it's really like, no, man, this is an opportunity for a couple hours a month to just like focus on what's going on in the heart
Fantastic.
and what's going on for me as a man in the context of this world. And so it's like an opportunity for me that I never really want to miss.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yep, absolutely. Today's conversations about masculinity, often they're polarizing. What does healthy masculinity mean to you, and how has that shifted, if at all, from being part of the group?
Thank you. For me, healthy masculinity is the courage to be vulnerable and to be strong in that space of vulnerability. And what I loved about, and what I still love about these men is that I can share the depths of my soul with them. I don't have to be ashamed or hide anything. And to be able to be that vulnerable in that safe container is something that I've been missing my whole life. I'm 65 years old, and so this is happening, later in my life, but it's still a beautiful journey. And like I said, it's helped me to be more of a man.
Xavier, and on the same kind of vein, if you had some friends and they said, I don't need a men's group, what would you tell them? Because everybody, all guys have some type of issues because we keep it all, we keep it all here unless there's a big announcement about something. Like a friend of mine, we all we talk about is sports and drink beer and watch the Yankees or whatever. And then he said, oh, by the way, I'm getting a divorce. And then I'm like, oh my God, he was married 22 years. And I asked him kind of like, why? And it was because His wife wasn't laughing at his jokes. That was the top line I got. Obviously, the issues went far deeper than that. But that's the type of thing that's pretty, you know, often. And he would probably say, I don't need to be part of a men's group just because we're so, you know, protective of our feelings. We don't want to be vulnerable. But what would you tell your buddies if they said, yeah, you know what, Xavier, I don't need a men's group. I got this.
Yes, yes. Well, that would definitely, for me, for one of my friends, require a conversation about depth, a word that Randall just used and a couple of other men have, depth. Why the fear of depth? You know, why are we afraid of our emotions? Because we've been cut off as men from that feeling nature, and we've been taught that emotions and feelings are weak, that when we cry or if we confess hurt, that is somehow, you know, you're a pussy if you're mm-hmm. if you have all these feelings. But we right. all have these feelings, that's the right. thing. So we need to stop denying these important parts of ourselves, and we need a place where we can come, as is said, and show the strength of a vulnerability and own the fact that in our vulnerability there is tremendous strength that has not been accepted, that has not been mined. It's a tremendously rich vein to explore together. And so we need to face that fear. And men, you know, we don't talk about what we're afraid of. But for me, I'd have to call my buddy out on the fear of being vulnerable here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Ken, you've done such a masterful job. I mean, these guys are amazing. And Ken Lakritz, it's
quite I take responsibility for all the amazing parts of
it. So, how has this group, how has the dynamic of the group evolved since you started the group? And what have you learned personally for yourself as a man, and also for your practice, about how you've seen the dynamic by taking individual clients, putting them all together, and being the common thread being men and having conversations that go deeper?
You know, I want to start out by talking about context, because one of the things that I knew before this, and I think that's really important to articulate, is that, you know, there's a cellular memory that men have that go back, you know, over 100,000 years, maybe hundreds of thousands of years, of coming together in rites of passage and, you know, eldering, mechanisms that you and I talked about when we talked about it mm-hmm. you know, in our previous interview. And this is something that when it's the brew, that when you get men together, they access this cellular memory. There's something in us that just knows what it means to be in a context like this, and when we're being eldered, and when we're in a sacred context in which that offers the opportunity of transformation. And what I've seen is deep transformation in the men, both in my practice, but in the group. And the group offers something that I can't offer in my individual practice. Like I said, it's a food, it's a relationship. And I've seen this group evolve over the past decade in ways that warm my heart so deeply, I can barely express to you, you know, the meaning behind it. And my feeling is this is what this community represents, is the core of what all men need for their health, for their maturity, to reduce isolation, to feel the feeling of camaraderie, and I think that and a safe place to come with our deep wounds. And I think without this, we see the kind of crises that we're seeing culture maybe worldwide with men, where they are feeling isolated and they start to, you know, medicate these feelings. They have no place to bring them. Mm-hmm. And therapy isn't always the answer to this. So this is a very special, very, very ancient context.
Well, you know, therapy takes a lot of different forms. Could be conversation, mm-hmm. could be going for a walk together or whatever. But so how do new members, how do you get, do you look for new members, or in your practice, you say, you know what, this guy could really benefit from being part of the men's group because he'd have other dudes to talk to? Or how do you manage that process? Because I'm just thinking, for people out there who are thinking about, I should get a bunch of guys together, what were some of the guidelines you would recommend for?
Well, this is a very hard topic for me, because I think this group has been very clear that we've maxed out in terms of the numbers. And but men come through my group and I go, my God, my goodness, they would benefit so much from this community. And you know, initially one of the reasons why we started this group is because there was no other place to refer them. And I wish I had places to refer them, and I wish there were hundreds of opportunities for men, which I can't unfortunately provide. So up until this point, what I have done is I've kind of sensed into when, you know, a man is ready for this community, when he has reached a level of connection with the deepest aspect, the most sacred aspect of his being. So he understands what it means to be in a ritual space like this.
Okay.
And then I would I would talk to the men and, you know, ask them if this is something that they felt comfortable with. And we would invite the man in, and most of the time it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Okay.
But we generally put a cap on the group at this point.
All right. We just have time for one more question. I want to go to each of the four guys and take 30 seconds tops, because we're on a time. We have a time limit. So what's your best advice to guys out there? Just one thing that you could say, maybe it's from something you've learned in the group or just something you've learned from life. Best advice for men right now. Let's start with you, Randall.
Take risks. And really embrace the opportunity to fail and get up and take another risk.
Perfect. Okay. Alex?
Yeah, be as vulnerable as you can, because probably everybody around you is feeling the way that you do. So if you can figure out a way to connect with them,
fantastic.
That's the basis.
Very wise. Iz?
Well, I think everyone needs a therapist, so you start there. And then the other thing is, I truly do, especially a Jungian therapist. And then the other thing is, as you take risks and you go deep with those around you from a space of vulnerability, you know, just with some, take that risk.
Okay. And Xavier?
Guys, don't cut off your manhood. Stop cutting your manhood off. These soft parts of you, what you would think of as feminine parts, are important part of you. If you keep stuffing the emotions, you're going to get sick physically, emotionally, mentally. Find a place where you can let these out in a safe place.
Love it. Ken, you've done such an amazing job with these guys, and guys, an amazing job working with Ken and working with each other. I have so much admiration for you. Keep doing what you're doing. Ken, I got just a couple of moments left. Any final words?
Well, I just want to say they've done an amazing job with me. So, you know, it goes both ways. It's a relationship. And I think that, you know, my advice to therapists out there who like to segregate themselves from relationship with their clients, I would say loosen that boundary.
Okay.
Because we our relationships with all of the people in our life are incredibly important, and I am just unbelievably grateful for these men in my life, and they're part of my life and my community as well.
Okay, well, gentlemen, thank you for your honesty, your courage, your willingness to share your experience. One of the themes I keep hearing is that strength isn't about pretending to have all the answers. It's about having the courage to show up, be accountable, and walk through life with trusted brothers by your side. Great job, guys. Mm-hmm. Ken's Men's Group, thank you so much for being on Guys Guys Radio. I'm sure you inspired a lot of folks out there. Keep doing what you're doing, fellas.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
The station that makes you feel good.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, fascinating conversation with Ken Lakritz and his men's group. We talked to four other gentlemen who really are very sincere and take being in the men's group seriously. And it sounds like they really get a lot of insights from sharing with each other. And we had the two gentlemen, the father and the son. And wow, that's amazing. Can you imagine going to a men's group with your father or your son? Incredible. So I give so much credit to Ken and what the guys are doing collectively to really bring communication to the next level and get beyond the surface. And I think that's what it's all about. Regardless of what type of men's group you join, or if you want to create one, or just getting together with your pals, see if you can take the conversation to a deeper place than just talking about sports and what type of wine you like and stuff like that, because there's a lot more. And I think it's important that men continue to build a dialogue with one another. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, guys, finish first.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.